Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hate shopping for pants? You're not alone. Jack Archer's Jet Setter Tech Pants are basically the answer to every guy's closet struggles. With their customizable fit, wrinkle-free fabric sourced from Japan, and all-day comfort, these pants can take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Seriously, these might be the only pants you'll ever need. Style them with the Jet Setter Tee, Legacy button-down shirt, or the buttery Legacy Polo sweater, and you've got timeless staples to meet your everyday wardrobe needs. Jack Archer is just better. For a limited time, get 15% off using the code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your entire order.
State Senator Jennifer Carroll Foy here, asking you to vote for my friend, Ghazala Hashmi, for Lieutenant Governor. She's a lifelong educator who's fought to expand job training. And Ghazala wrote the bill protecting Medicaid from Trump and MAGA extremists. Join me in voting for Ghazala Hashmi for Lieutenant Governor and Democrats up and down the ballot. Paid for by Workers Vote. 212-265-7000. Not authorized by any federal candidate or federal candidates committee. Workers Vote is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Hello, welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. This is Kirk Henderson, joined by Josh Bow. We are coming to you on Monday night, just before 10 o'clock. It is November 3rd. The Dallas Mavericks just fell to the Houston Rockets, 110-102. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for holding the fort down with that late night Mexico City game.
We had fun. Yeah. We had some like Sudarshan joined, Matt joined.
Yeah, that's great. So
we had a nice time. Yeah,
I love that.
It was good. It was very different. So here we are. The Mavericks fell to the Rockets 110-102. And I got to tell you, just, you know, I do these sort of pregame clips for Offside. And I was really in my head, I'm sitting here thinking, at what point do the Mavericks just get waxed like this? Like, I really didn't know what to think of that season. And it's a tough road to hoe for these Mavericks, because they played that Houston Rockets team about as well as I could have hoped. And what happened was they lost, but I'm annoyed about some particulars, but nothing big picture. The Rockets are a bigger, better version of what the Mavericks want to do. And when you're without Anthony Davis and Derek Lively, you're playing a hamstrung Daniel Gafford. It's Cisse even played in this game. I mean, this, you know, I don't really have a ton of like super grumpy thoughts on this one. What do you think? Where are you with this team?
Yeah. I mean, it's the Jason Kidd special. Like, the Mavericks, they're 2-5 now. I mean, it's still 7 games out of 82. So who says where the season's going to end up? But let's say this season does end poorly. That would be what? 3 out of 5? Would that be 3 out of 5 seasons Jason Kidd has missed the playoffs with the Mavericks, I think.
Yep.
But despite that, like, they've never felt like they're giving up. They're not. They don't care. Yep. Like, I don't know if that matters. I don't know what that means in the grand scheme of things. But this was a game that they easily could have rolled over in the second half, and they didn't. And I thought they played hard from the opening whistle to the final buzzer. And again, that doesn't really matter. They lost. That doesn't count for anything in the standings. But I don't know. At least, like, if we're gonna have to watch these games where they're shorthanded and it's kind of like almost deja vu of last season,
yeah.
Which is really frustrating because I feel like we're still learning nothing about this team because everyone's still hurt again. Like, we have to wait on Anthony Davis. We have to wait on Derek Lively. Like, those are big pieces. Like, you know, Daniel Gafford, minutes restriction. So it still feels like we're in this holding pattern that we've been in since February of last year, where, like, I don't care if the team is good or bad. I just want to know. I just want to see minutes. And it's frustrating that they haven't been able to get this group on the floor together. So if that's going to happen and they're going to be shorthanded again and it's going to be weird, the fact that they put consistent effort on the floor and they're not wasting my time,
right,
which is really silly thing to say about this, but I mean that that's kind of how I feel. Like, they played hard and they lost to a team that's significantly more talented than them at the moment. And funny enough, you kind of hit the nail on the head. The Rockets are like what the good version of the Mavericks want to be. Like, they're almost like archetype wise like they're almost the exact same type of team. Like, no point guards, really big wings, lots of centers, want to play two centers,
but they do the bully
ball. They're just not as good.
They do the bully ball stuff significantly better than the Mavericks, even as they're, because it's, you know,
Stephen has a post game and Lively and Gafford don't really, and Anthony Davis wants to play like Kevin Durant. He's not Kevin Durant.
So here's an interesting thing for you. I was looking this up. This is the worst Dallas Mavericks start since Luka Doncic's rookie season. They actually they started that year 2-7 before getting their third win against the Wizards. And so it's like that was kind of that year. It sort of they ended up by Thanksgiving they were basically above 500. That the thing started to go sideways a little in mid-December for that season. They actually started the 1920 campaign, which is really funny. They started
1920.
They started the 1920 campaign 6-5.
Oh, right. my dumb brain. You're saying 2019. No, you're saying 2019, 2020. And my dumb brain was like, the NBA did not.
And then they just rattled off. 1920s. Then after they started that season, the 2019-20 campaign 6-5 with some pretty maddening losses, and then rattled off 10 out of 11 to look like just a juggernaut. That was when, and then Luka or Katie got hurt. So it's like there have been some pretty ugly starts to past seasons. You know, the Harrison Barnes campaign was the worst one. So we here in Dallas have really been blessed with good starts to the season, more or less, because we've had pretty good teams. And this is, it's out of the ordinary because the talent level on this team does not match a 2-5 start. But realistically, I mean, they've eclipsed 110 points twice. Once against Detroit on Saturday and once against Toronto. I mean, the overarching problem with this team is they just can't score. And it, somebody said in my mentions, because I mean, I want to talk about this later, but in the fourth quarter, they really went ISO heavy, pick and roll heavy. And they don't have the shooters for that shit. Like, that's why they were doing this handoff stuff, I thought. And I don't know. This game is very frustrating to me because I felt that there were some real pluses. You know, PJ had a fantastic bounce back game after being a really big mess in Mexico City. Dan Gafford looked great. Cooper Flagg played an exquisite first quarter and then just sort of died on the vine because the Mavericks don't involve him in anything. Maybe I'm wrong there. I'm willing to hear it out.
No, you're right.
But and these are the sort of things we have to suss through with this game because, you know, the Mavericks had pretty good leads, and I knew the Rockets were going to make a run, but the Mavericks did not. Like, the answer, and I know I want to hammer this home. D'Angelo Russell is not somebody that's going to get a lot of grief from this season because he's been put in a position to do a limited number of, like, he's not been put in a position to super excel. He has done a good job with what he's been given, but when he makes mistakes, I more look at that in within the framework of, should he even be in the position to make that mistake? And the answer is no, it's not fair. So it's just like, when he does ISO heavy stuff at the end, I'm not super pissed at him. The roster's not constructed well. We sort of beat around it all fucking summer, and we know how basketball is played, and the way basketball is played in the year 2025-26 is not the way the Mavericks have envisioned or have decided to put together a team. So,
yeah, there's a lot of avenues we could take from that. Like, I know
people go with that. I'll stop talking.
No, you're fine. I'm trying to figure out which one to land on. Like, D'Angelo Russell, kind of, this was like pretty much the perfect summation of what I thought he would bring in the summer, where he's gonna, but he did it all in one game, where it's like, he has moments where you're like, holy cow. And then he has moments where you're like, holy cow, like the bad way. Because I don't think they're in this game without him. I mean, he had some, I mean, those were some of the best passes I've seen from a non-Luka Doncic Maverick in the last 6 years.
The up the court pass to PJ for the dunk.
Yes, the bounce pass.
For wow. The,
yeah. I great mean, pass.
Great pass. I mean, yeah. he had one early. He had
a couple of those.
He had like a baseline one in a possession where it's just like, he had a look away, and I'm just like, man, that's a point guard, man. Yep. So it's.
And then he runs a pick and roll in clutch time, and he throws a lob that gets right into the palm of Sengun, basically, or Steven Adams. Right. I can't remember who palmed it.
Not getting threw a lob. Over Sengun. Hilarious. Yeah.
And that's kind of like his deal. Like, he's really good passer when he's kind of like in those situations, like transition, and the defense is scattered. But when the defense is organized and keyed in on him and he's running a pick and roll, I feel like his passing is not good. And he can't, it's harder for him to beat teams with his pass when teams are kind of focused and dialed in on him. When he's swinging the ball around the perimeter, when he's passing in transition, I feel like that's when he's a much better passer. And you kind of saw that in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, he took some dumb shots, which, like, that's kind of him.
It's part of the package.
He's kind of a right. You like, do you want the 12 assists and two turnovers? You're going to have to deal with like a 1-6 from three every now and then. The fact that it happened in the same game is unfortunate, but also, like, again, like, if he didn't, like, what if he didn't play, like, they're down. I feel like they're down 12 in the fourth quarter instead of like being tied. So yeah. Like, you take the good with the bad. And then the other part of it is, you know, PJ. Yeah. We got to shout out PJ. He played an awesome game. Absolutely awesome game. Defensively, he was pretty decent too. I mean, he was great in the paint. I mean, he was so aggressive. I mean, he was kicking Kevin Durant's ass. The Rockets were trying to put PJ on Durant on PJ. And PJ, like, instead of just kind of passively, he didn't let KD off the hook. Like, he took it to him in the paint repeatedly, which is what you got to do, right? Because the Rockets are trying to conserve energy. They're probably putting KD on PJ because they're like, well, we want him, you know, guarding a spot-up shooter that might not be super threatening. And credit to the Mavs, they got PJ the ball in advantageous situations, going hard toward the basket, and PJ was physical and aggressive and was like, no, I'm going to score on your ass. And he did that to KD multiple times in that game. So that was awesome. And then I want to shout out, you talk about Daniel Gafford played a great game, and he did, you know, 14 points in 25 minutes, 7-9 from the field. Kirk, he had one defensive rebound in 25 minutes, which is like the Daniel Gafford chef
kiss. I mean, like, perfect. It's tough because you don't
want to. I know, he's on like one leg.
Watching him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Make attempts at defensive plays, and then just putting himself out of position.
He just can't rebound.
Yeah, he's not a good defensive rebounder, period. And somebody like Steven Adams, whose entire MO is just sort of, he doesn't leave his feet very much. He shuffles around, he bodies into you. I mean, I certainly don't think any of it was intentional, but he put Gafford on his ass several times just because he's a big, like dump truck of a human, like knocking things around. And so it's a little frustrating to see that happening with Gafford, but that's where, you know, that's where in the Anthony Davis base game, Anthony Davis slides over and hopefully grabs some of those rebounds that whoever else is on the floor with him was not doing. Yep. So,
yep. And then you want to talk, we got to talk about Cooper.
Let's save Cooper till after. Cooper till after the break. All right, we're about 13 minutes into this one. We can go ahead and take a quick break here. Okay. If you guys are at all interested in supporting our show, you can do two things. You can click on the link that's in the show notes. You can also actually listen to the ads, which I'm going to insert right here. Josh and I will be right back. Thanks so much for waiting. If you are interested in joining our fan-driven show, which tonight's going to be another group therapy, please hang out after the show here. You can click the link and join the show relatively easily. We've had a great show every time this season. I'm very surprised and pleased that this many of you guys are wanting to talk about this basketball team so far into the season. If you haven't subscribed to our show yet on YouTube, please do so. Have an arbitrary goal entirely made up of about 5,000 people. We're at about 3,600 right now. Kind of hard to do when the team sucks, but we're going to try all the same. Okay, Josh, let's have the Cooper flag discussion. Did you, before you start though, did you happen to see the plus minus stat Tim McMahon talked about earlier today?
I don't know if I saw it, but does it have to do with how Cooper plays when he's with a point guard and how he plays when he's without a point guard? Because I saw that getting floated around.
I think he has the second worst plus minus in the NBA right now.
Oh, Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, that's kind of expect. Like, I'm not shocked. Like, they're playing him out of position for half of his minutes. And they're playing him out of position at the start of games when the other team is presumably playing their five best players. So not only is he playing point guard, which is not his natural position for a decent amount of possessions, he's doing a lot of that, those point guard minutes, against the other team's best lineup.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I could go on, I could talk about that. I mean, the second half usage was bizarre.
I could be having this wrong. I heard this on a podcast today, and I was only half listening, so I could be having the whole thing wrong.
Well, I did see some stats about how he's like, his true shooting is like remarkably better when he's playing with one of Russell or Brandon Williams.
So whatever you want to go with it. I'm up for any sort of Cooper flag discussion, because I was happy with his first quarter.
Yeah, he had a great first quarter. Man, what did he have? Did he have 10 points in the first quarter? And then he finished
with 5 or 6 in the first half.
Yeah, and then he finished, I think, yeah, he finished with those 5. He didn't make a field goal after that. Nope.
Doesn't feel good.
I think the thing that bothered, like, he's going to struggle. Like, the struggles don't really bother me, like, because this is a weird team for him to slide into. The thing that bothers me in the second half, and again, I don't know if this is injury related, because he did look like he kind of bruised up that shoulder again.
Right.
So if that's part of it, then obviously none of what I'm saying matters. But I just have to talk about what we saw on the floor. Like, if he's not getting shot attempts, okay. But like, the standing in the corner and watching, like, he needs to be involved, and he is a good off-ball player, I don't think he needs to be reduced to spot up shooting. And I don't know if that's on Cooper. I don't know if that's on the coaching staff. Whoever it's on, they got to figure it out. If the coaches are telling him to do stuff and he's not doing it, then the coaches need to tell him, hey, look at this, point it out in the film, like you're disappearing. The coaches are telling him, and then if the other way around, if the coaches are telling him to stand in the corner and watch, then they gotta fix it. He needs to sit more on ball screens. I don't know if he set an on ball screen in the fourth quarter.
That's gotta be coaching. That just has to be coaching stuff and play design and play call. Because what are we doing? Not putting somebody as dynamic as him in on ball actions.
And he's willing. And it's not like he's one of those guys that doesn't want to do it. Like he will do it. Like I can't imagine he doesn't want to do it. He's so much better going toward the basket with a full head of steam, instead of trying to kind of milk these possessions out of him where he's isolating as a point guard. I thought his buckets in the first half were a lot of him playing off of secondary action and him getting the ball going downhill instead of initiating possessions. So more of that. And I thought this team is going to struggle to score even if Cooper is playing awesome. Like,
that's right.
Like it feels like you're playing with one hand tied behind your back. Like, look, your offense is already kind of stinky, even if Cooper is highly efficient and highly optimized. Like, if you're not using him as an off-ball weapon to throw against other teams, whether that's as a screener, cutter, whatever you want to do with him, you're handicapping yourself in a very weird way. And what's funny is they kind of like they were doing some stuff with PJ that I'm like, why aren't they doing this stuff with Cooper? And of course, some of it is PJ is 7-year vet and he's more aggressive. Yep. Like Cooper definitely needs to be more aggressive at times. And again, I wonder if him getting his shoulder banged up again made him gun shy.
I
think that I'm not saying that's what happened, but like we have to say it. But otherwise, like, yeah, I want him setting, like, he don't even need to shoot, like set it on ball screen, get him the ball in the short roll, let him make the reads from there. And then run your offense. If he doesn't end up with the shot, at least use him as a weapon to disrupt the defense. Like if he's standing in the corner, like he's not, his 3-pointer is getting better, but he is not, he hit 2 of 5, but he's not going to be guarded like a 3-point shooter this whole season. He could hit 15 threes in a row. Teams, if he's playing off ball and not moving around, teams are going to sag off of him. They just are. He doesn't have the reputation yet. Yeah. So they got to do something better about that because they can't. He played 34 minutes and he shot the ball 10 times. And really in the second half, he just, again, it's not about like if he didn't shoot the ball a lot in the second half, but he was setting screens and he had like 4 assists and he's running around and he's causing havoc if he's getting offensive boards. Because that's another thing. When you play off ball and you're static, I really feel like this, if that affects the rest of your game too. Like I feel like it takes you out of the game. And I feel like when you're active and you're moving off ball, even if you're not getting shots, it gets you closer to the basket. Like if he's cutting, like he's toward the rim for offensive rebounds, he can crash the glass maybe a little bit more. I don't know. I feel like the way he was used in the fourth quarter, and again, I don't know if this is coaching or if this is him, it just kind of disengaged him from other parts of the game too. And that's the part that kind of sucks.
Did you have commentary on?
Yeah, I did.
Did you hear? Yeah. Devin Harris made a point about how the Rockets were far superior about occasionally cutting baseline than the Mavericks as a team.
Yeah, because both teams are kind of playing zone and stuff tonight. Yeah.
And commented about how that was really like a team philosophy decision. Now, the Mavericks shot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
9 of 36 from three. Like, they can't shoot threes. They can't shoot threes. So institutionally, they need to incorporate more baseline cutting. If you can't hit those shots, you got to try something else. Yep. And you know, Flag, like we're just talking about, like he would be a menace in the short corner underneath.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what are we even doing?
They had him playing at the top, like mm-hmm. flashing to the mid post near the free throw line.
Yep.
Which is, that's not bad. You know,
he's just okay. Better at it right now. And I think Flag will be amazing at it one day, but this is a different deal.
Yeah. And the Mavericks did score 56 points in the paint. So there are a couple occasions where they broke up that 1-3 zone with some baseline cuts and some baseline finishes, especially with Gafford. Like, you know, I can rag on Gafford's defensive rebounding all I want, but like, he is a better, I don't know if he's a more talented offensive player, but he's a better scorer than Derek Lively. Like, he just is. Like, he has a nose for the basket. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. And that made a big difference tonight, having that. But yeah, they gotta find a way with Cooper to get him engaged when he's not on the ball, because they did the thing in the fourth quarter. Like, I think they played a real point guard that entire fourth quarter. So they kind of didn't really do the point Coop experiment that much. Like, D'Angelo Russell played 29 minutes. So outside of the first quarter and the second quarter, the starts of those quarters, they got away from it. But now it's like, okay, if you're running high screen and roll with D'Angelo Russell and everyone's just kind of standing around, I don't know, that's the best use case there. So that baby steps, you know, they're starting to play. I feel like they're starting to play the right lineups a bit more. Now they got to get the usage sorted out. And I guess hopefully that comes with time.
Oh, time. What a day. Oh, you know, I think we haven't said enough about him, largely because we just sort of expect the hot streak to end. But Max Christie turning in another stellar shooting performance. Yep.
We spent all summer being like, let's slow your rolls. Let's let this guy be his own thing. And he's playing awesome.
Well,
he's
and tonight he was 3 of 6 from three, but he was also 3 of 4 from two. You know, he finished with 17, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists. You know, he was second on the team in assists, so he's making a lot of the right plays. And as a secondary playmaker, really kind of third, fourth guy, if we're being honest, he's making a lot of the right plays. And that can come in handy if you get the right offensive system and the right thing going. You know, he's a little bit overlooked because the Mavericks are so ass on offense as a team. But I just, you know, I like seeing him work tonight.
Yeah, he played a great game, and he's becoming like, I mean, kid's not being really bashful about it. Like, Klay Thompson played 18 minutes, and Klay played terrible. Like, he is giving those minutes to Max. Like, I think, you know, there's going to be some fans that are like, why is Klay still starting? And we're never going to get a straight answer to that, because, you know, they're going to try to keep that locker room as tight as they can. But I mean, if you're complaining about, like, they're not playing Klay starter minutes, that's for sure. Even if he's starting these games. So, you know, he is riding with Christie.
The keeping, you know, I want to pivot to some. We talked, I don't know if we gave near enough praise to PJ, 29 points in 36 minutes, along with 12 boards. He really controlled a lot of the game, was very pleased with his effort. I know we did talk about him a little bit, but just sort of wanted to say that out loud one more time. And then there's your guy, Musa Cisse, 14 minutes, played an effective 14 minutes, more effective than Dwight Powell, which Powell had been pretty useful the previous two games, but it's not the thing. I got one more thing to talk about that's not about this game, and then we can go. Do you have anything else about this game that was worth talking about?
No, not really.
Okay, so here's my next thought. The Mavericks play the Pelicans on Wednesday. The Pelicans are 0-0, and they haven't won a game yet. They're real bad.
I haven't won a game, and the vibes are very bad.
Real, like, not, I mean, so it's like everyone talks about how bad the Nets are, and the Nets are horrible. The Nets have a plan. But the Nets have an average margin of what do you call it? Margin of losing of like 15.1 points. Okay, really bad. Do you know what the Pelicans is without guessing? I tweeted it out. You might have seen it. You don't know.
17.
18. Okay.
And by the way, the Nets are trying to lose. The Pelicans are very much not wanting to lose because they don't have any draft picks.
And so here's something fun about that. So they play the Hornets tomorrow night. So that means they'll be playing the Mavericks on the second night of a back-to-back, likely staring at 0 and likely coming into that game 0-7.
Yeah.
So
Mavericks have to win that game.
If, like, look, I don't care if AD's out. AD still should be out. We didn't even talk about the fact that AD was, you know, you and I haven't talked about this yet on the podcast.
Yeah, no.
AD has a strained calf. The Mavericks said 1 to 2 games, which is really fucking stupid because an average calf strain is 1 to 2 weeks for a grade 1 calf strain. I had one of the fun accounts like arguing with me about like the degree of the strain. And it's like, I don't care. A calf strain is a calf strain is a calf strain. You have to be really fucking careful. That's the point. So I don't necessarily think expecting AD back on Wednesday is the wise move, but they might do it. We don't know what's going on with these Mavericks, but that all this being said, regardless of who plays, the Mavericks absolutely have to win that game. Like they have to beat the Pelicans. Like this is we're past this being funny. We're right on the edge of this being like, okay, guys, what are we doing? You know, Mark Stein was talking on a podcast the other day, they're all these podcasts. He's like, I hate these overreactions to these kind of games. It's like it's okay to start the season a little bit slow. And it's like it's okay to start mediocre. You cannot get in a Mavericks are 2-5 right now. The Mavericks, they play New Orleans, Memphis, Washington. Okay. That's a 3-game stretch that could theoretically pull them back to 500 if they just get their shit together. They cannot afford more lackadaisical losses, is what I'm driving at.
No, you're right.
I'm not ready to throw in the towel on this team. I got a lot of people telling me, just tanked for so and so. And I am a pessimist. I am a pragmatist, depending on the day. I am not ready to throw the talent on this team yet. I'm just not. So,
no, I'm with you.
That said, we do play the Bucks on Monday, November 10th, and no fucking thank you. God, the Bucks are gonna. Then they're a mess. But guarding Giannis just is a horror show.
Yeah, so they gotta get that win before they play Giannis.
Okay, so you go do some editing.
Yep.
Good stuff in Mavs Moneyball lately. I've really been enjoying what people are turning in. It's hard to write about a wonky, weird team, and our staff has been doing it. I'm going to, if you're watching the YouTube stream, I'm going to click to the other show. If you're listening on the audio stream, join that show. Join the YouTube channel. We all be right back. Josh, thanks so much for hanging out tonight, dude.
Yep. Thanks, buddy. I'll see you in a minute.
This has been Kirk and Josh. Go Mavs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.